Welcome to the official podcast of Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society. This is Whispers from the Dark.
My name is Rex Nielsen. I'm the founder of All Out Paranormal that I started with my two boys in 2011. Now it's just Dad. The two of them have gone their own way. But the time we did have together, we had a 3,000-mile radius around Iowa, where we're from. Did some places that nobody else has done and can't to this day. And it was an amazing ride with my two sons, and being able to do this with your kids, you know, and spend the time with them was just a huge blessing, because, you know, all I ever wanted to be was a dad, you know, and got to spend that extra time with them. It's still just as fun as when it first started, you know, 13 years ago. And actually this year is just, I told everybody I'd taken a year off because of health issues, and but I told everybody that I would be back and I'd be bigger than ever. And after the first of the year, everything just kind of did that. I own Skydoor Entertainment now, which I have Brandon Cooper on there, Shaman Sundays. Katie Stafford is going to be having a show on there. It's an awesome network. It's all has to do with cryptic, paranormal, metaphysical, and that's what we wanted. And to be fun and entertaining. It's like my show is on Thursday nights, Discover the Paranormal with All That Paranormal. And it's just laid back. It's, you know, nothing's pressured, and just talk like we were out having a cup of coffee, and which has just been a blast since we started, and love it. And I'm here today because Brandon is one of my best friends, and we just met here about 7 months ago, and he wanted me to be a part of this. And I kept telling him, I said, man, you know, I live off an extremely limited budget. I said, it's just not in the cards right now. And next thing I know, he's flying me up here for the next 2 weeks to, and I got to do the Paracon with you and all these amazing people. And then I got to be on the panel with you guys last night too, because it was so funny to watch people go, who's that guy sitting up there? But I've absolutely had a blast. I mean, there are people that here that I've followed for years, you know. A couple of them I've just been really good friends with for a long time, like Aaron G. Thompson. I tell everybody I knew him before the G.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
We hit it off years ago, and we've done a lot of things together. No, I wasn't on 28 Days Haunted. He keeps telling me on season 8 that he'll bring me in. So,
well, you got to hold him to that at least. Then you never know.
I'm gonna too. I'm gonna. And it's been fun. I mean, it's the first Paracon I've done this year. And it was just one of those things that just happened. It was just meant to be, you know. And I've just had a blast. And I hate to see it end today, but all things have to, you know, come to an end. But then again, I'm with Brandon, and they're doing an 8-day investigation, and I'll be here for 5 of it, the investigation. So I'm really looking forward to that.
So you got art and everything over there and stuff too?
Yes, my art. It's a funny story. I graduated college with 3 BAs in graphic design, child psychology, and elementary ed. I didn't use any of it because my ex-father-in-law told me I was too fat and too stupid to get into law enforcement. So I took that as a personal challenge, and I retired from law enforcement after 31 years in 2019. And I'm glad I did it. I really am. Would I go back now? No, I wouldn't. It was too much of a strain on my family. You know, they were never knowing, you know, the knock on the door. And it was too much on me anymore. I think that I did a good job in the 31 years. I had done my job, and I think I'd been in it long enough. You know, it started taking a toll on me. You know, when you're 6 foot seven and 300 pounds, and then you add all that weight with the Kevlar vest and now the TAC vest that you wear, and then you stuff even more stuff on it. And it wasn't worth it anymore. I just didn't have the same feeling I did 31 years ago, because I used to jump up, throw my stuff on and just out the door, you know, to crush crime and suppress evil. But as I don't want people to get the idea that I just quit caring. It wasn't that at all, because I respected what I did. I respected the people that I protected and worked for. And I would still do it today. If anything went down in here right now, I would put myself in harm's way before anybody else would get hurt in here. And I guess it'll be that way until the day I in a wheelchair and blind, I suppose. But yeah, the art, after I quit a little over 35 years ago, I quit drawing. And my two boys, who are, one's 27 and the other one will be 30 next month, had no clue I could draw. So I think it was 2015 or 2016. I don't know. One day I was just sitting there and I'm going, man, I need to start drawing again. And I have no idea why. So I thought, well, why not? You know, like I said, I kind of lost my faith and ability in it. And so it took me a while to find the medium that I wanted to use. You know, I tried everything, oils, pastels, you know, and nothing just wasn't working. And I like putting a lot of color in a lot of my art. But yet, you know, I wanted to be able to, where you blended it, to where it was all cohesive together, you know, to get my shading and everything else in it. But I couldn't figure out how to do it, because I liked using permanent markers, alcohol markers. So one day I'm going, well, why can't I blend it? So I got the watercolor brushes that you put water in them, you know, and then you do your watercolors with it. I put rubbing alcohol into those brushes, and I was able to blend the alcoholic markers, and I just went from there. And since then, well, I've got over 1,000 pieces of art, just pictures on my phone. And I'm having more fun with it now than, you know, when I was in college. And I don't know. I love my life now. I don't, you know, everybody goes, oh, I wish I could be 16 again. I don't. I really don't. You know, I'll be 58 in June, and I'm just having a ball. And getting to do what you want to do. And, you know, I had so many people say retirement, oh, my gosh, you know, I get so bored, yada, 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 or it sucks. No, it don't. Not at all. And it's so nice just to, like this, you know, up and I'm here. I didn't need to get anybody's permission to be here. And thank you very much for having me on. I mean,
absolutely, yeah.
This is awesome. It's been a long time since I've done a podcast. I think the last one was Denise Pridemore, and I think that was 3 years ago. And it's just, it's surreal. It's what a great ride it's been so far this year. Still got a lot of things coming up this year. A lot more investigations are coming up. And now that I have the network and stuff, I can actually go live on events so people can actually watch what we're doing at the same time we're doing it, you know, which I think is cool because people really like it. And we did one, and it was amazing. I mean, I was going to do it for an hour, and we went 8 hours, you know, live, and it was just a lot of fun. And, you know, people were saying, hey, did you hear that? You know, and of course the producer would tag if somebody would write in the comments, hey, we heard this or seen that, to go back and watch it and listen, you know. And there was some stuff that people actually did catch during some of the live broadcast. I could talk for hours, so.
I don't want to go dark with this, but I did have a question for you.
Sure, sure.
So, we just got done listening to Jeremy Leonard up on stage talking about demonology and possession and some of the bad things that happen with that. And I wonder, from being the police aspect of this, you know, you're dealing with these kinds of people in that.
Right.
And have you seen or had to deal with anything that you would consider, you know, something along those lines?
As far as professionally or what I do now?
Professionally, from the police aspect, you know, like, because, you know, you guys are out there dealing with all these bad situations. And sometimes, you know, like, you know, we know that people that end up going down that route, it gets worse and worse, because if they do open themselves up to these things, you know, it can enter and just take control, and it just is a spiral. So,
and you're right. There had been, over the 31 years, I dealt with a lot of different aspects and things and individuals and situations. But yeah, probably a handful of times, you know, you realize when you're dealing with it, going, this just isn't because they're drunk or high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a much deeper underlying problem. And it, you know, being what you believe in, you know, and which I've been in the paranormal. I had my first experience when I was 4, and I've been doing something in it or following it ever since then. But, you know, you had to separate yourself, you know, when you had that uniform on and that badge. I just can't say, yeah, this guy has, you know, a dark figure that's attached itself to him. You know, I can't put that in my report. But yes, absolutely, I did have to deal with stuff like that.
So, well, I mean, I don't want details and stuff like that, but, like, how do you handle that? Do you recommend, like, psychiatric help? Do you provide that stuff for them, or what can you do in that position?
When stuff like that arose and it was legitimate to where that something needed to be done before they hurt themselves or others, whether they be high, drunk, or have an attachment, yes, I would always, you know, in my report say this individual would be beneficial if we took them and had them, you know, into a psychiatric evaluation for the next 72 hours at least. Try to get a hold of, you know, get the blood work and stuff done up to see what all is happening. But yeah, I always tried to do that. Did it always happen? No, because it wasn't my call. Unfortunately,
yeah.
You know, it was 99.9% of the time it was a judge's call. A lot of times, yeah, the judge agreed with me, especially the longer I did the job. They respected how I handled myself, and they knew if I wrote something up like that, that this person, this would be beneficial for him, instead of just stuffing him in a jail cell and just watching them just deteriorate and just destroy the whole surroundings and make it hard for everybody. So I hope that answered your question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you have some of those cases, like, well, let's back up a little bit there. When you, you're dealing with all this stuff, you said that you had an experience early on. So when you're as a police officer active, you had the mindset of that this stuff was out there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it was, it should be surprised when I, you know, started doing this and getting out there and learning the job and getting my experience, how it played a bigger part than you really would ever think it would. And unfortunately, you know, yeah, I could tell other people about it, and you know what I'm going to get, you know, oh yeah, right, you know, what's wrong with you, you know, and do little you know, do you keep in contact with your mothership, you know, and stuff like that.
yes, I do.
Yeah, so? Yeah, I wish I did push for many years to have somebody like from a psych ward that was readily available. So if stuff like this come up when you knew that it was much more than just a drug or alcohol, that you could get placement or help quicker for them. And towards the end of my career, it started happening. A lot of sheriff's departments did have a psychologist readily available to help with that. And a lot of them have them on staff now. So I guess I did something right over the years. But
I do have...
like I said, throwing them in with everybody else is not going to help. Not at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was going to ask you that, how you've seen that the progression over time in your time with the police force that has changed, you know, the stigmatism or whatever of that. Has that's kind of gone away or changed or at least gotten a little bit better?
It's gotten a little bit better. You know, you still have to walk on pins and needles. Because it, unfortunately, there's politics and everything, so you gotta watch what you say and do, even though you're doing the right thing, and there's people around you that know you're doing the right thing. That doesn't mean that the higher up think that you're doing the right thing, and it doesn't take much for them to go, and then you know your career is absolutely shot. You know, nobody's gonna hire you as an officer anywhere. You know, and way too many people I know put too much into it just to have it, you know, the rug yanked out from underneath you. You know, and it's tough to make that transition after you retire from a job where you ran towards danger every single day, and then all of a sudden it's not there anymore, you know, because you never knew what your day was going to bring, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent. I've at first it really I kind of got off the subject, I'm sorry.
Whatever. Go ahead.
It at first it really didn't bother me, but the longer I've been away from it, which, you know, having the network and being able to do the shows and stuff like that fills all that void. But Sacred Mountain Retreat, which some of the proceeds and stuff from this are going for that. And it's an amazing place. Everybody check it out. It's not just for veterans. It's also for police officers, deputy sheriffs, firefighters, EMTs. And I didn't know there was anything like that for an officer, because most officers, after they retire, 3 to 5 years before they commit suicide from it. And it's a high rate. So it's just like doing the job. An officer is killed in the line of duty every 54 hours. You know, I've lost many amazing friends over the years, and the last one I lost was somebody that I was incredibly close to for over 20 years, one of the greatest officers ever, and nobody would argue that fact. And he saved everybody by putting, he knew he was going to die, but he knew he was, everybody else was going to be safe. I'll never forget the phone call, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll try. I was like, no, you're lying. He's not gone. Come on, this isn't even funny. And it's, to this day, I mean, on my motorcycle, I had his badge with the black band put over it, ISP 462. And what was amazing is that there was over 20,000 officers from every state in the United States that came to his funeral. I mean, the proceeds of sheriff's departments and police cars from all over was just incredible. Unfortunately, I couldn't go to any of it. My mother had Alzheimer's, so I was retired. she lived with my mother, so my sister. So when my sister went to work during the day, I took care of mom.
And,
I would have loved to have been part of it, but it's. I just glad that I mean the people that I know now that hopefully nothing ever happens to them. And I thank to God every day that nothing ever happened to me. You know, there were situations where it come close a few times, but, you know, I'm still here, still breathing, and being able to tell this story and go on and shed some light. I mean, you know, you have good and bad with everybody. It doesn't matter what you do. There's always good and bad. But we're not all bad, you know. You can take it or leave it. I never abused my authority. I never went, because I've got this badge and a gun that I can do anything I want. I can count on one hand how many times I ever had to unholster my weapon, too. Because talking, you'd be surprised how easily you can talk somebody down out of a situation instead of standing there and trying to be BMOC, big man on campus. And, you know, puff your chest out.
And we're feeding in data once we expire.
So,
anyway.
So, have you ever had any of the cases, like we were talking about, the people that, you know, have gone down that bad path and stuff? Have you ever had anyone come back after, you know, you'd gotten them help and stuff and thanked you?
Yes, absolutely. And there's a couple times that there was people that, you know, I helped, but they still end up going to prison. I would get letters from them thanking them for the help that they got before they went to prison. And then after they got out, they would look me up and thank me. I couldn't ask for anything better because I guess I did make a difference, you know, and that's all I ever wanted to do. I didn't do it because I got to put a uniform on and a metal badge and wear a gun. That's not what it was, not what it's about. And I have the letters still. A lot of them I still correspond with or keep in touch with. And it's pretty cool. Every once in a while I'll be somewhere and somebody will walk up and go, "Hey, I know who you are," you know, and I'll get a hug from somebody saying thank you so much for, you know, start beating my ass and let me know that there can be a difference. There is help, and there are people besides me out there that do care and want to see people succeed and not have to go through what we had to see and deal with every single day. It's a tough thing to see, and it's, you know, and you're not a human being if it doesn't affect you in some way, shape, or form. Because there was days it was real tough to come home and try to just go on with the horrors that you've seen during the day. But I think I made a difference. And I'm proud of what I did. I'm not ashamed of anything I ever did.
Yeah, his
and I know some people are going, yeah. And that's fine. You know, for one thing, they don't know me. But, yeah, it's cool that you brought all that up because I've never had anybody bring that side of it in before. Which is cool because I'm usually answering the same questions all the time. And like, thank you very much because those are awesome questions that you've asked.
Whenever I have people on my shows, either of them, the cryptids or this one, I try and listen to some of their other stuff. And I go, yeah, okay, you've talked about that enough. What else can I talk about? Because there's so much more to, you know, I was actually interviewing Aaron yesterday. And, you know, we got on all this other stuff. And I said, you know, everyone looks at you that you're on TV and that's who you are. But there's so much more to these people and so much
more,
you know, like, I don't know, you know who Ronnie LeBlanc is?
Yes.
Okay, Ronnie LeBlanc, Expedition Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I had him on my show, and we didn't even talk about Expedition Bigfoot. Because there is so much more. I mean, he's more paranormal than even Bigfoot.
Right.
And nobody knows any of this stuff, you know? So you got to, I do this show not because, you know, we want to have a show or whatever, because it gives me a chance to interview the people that I want to talk to.
Exactly.
And if anybody listens to it, great. If nobody listens to it, I don't care, because I still get to have those conversations with my guests. So I appreciate the time with you, you know, and getting to know you. And I'm glad you called me over there and introduced yourself and that, because, you know, I've never heard of you. You know,
and that was the whole thing, you know. It was so funny. I'm up on the panel with everybody knows who's up there, and then, you know, here's this giant of a man sitting, you know, amongst everybody, and everybody's like, you know, and I get the mic, and they're like, you can see the expression on the faces out there, like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully, you know, having you come over and finding out who I am, and I tried to tell everybody that has stopped, you know. I've worked hard at it. The paranormal community is an amazing thing. I love doing it. I love being able to come out and be with people that, you know, I've watched for years. I've read their books, watched them on TV, their documentaries, and so on and so forth. And every time this happens, I get to be like, be on the panel yesterday, which it was such an honor and a blessing to be up there with you and everybody else. I mean, I just, it was great.
I'm nobody either. I was thinking about the same as you, going, well, I'm a speaker, but I don't belong up here either. I mean, to the first panel I actually did, I was sitting up at a VIP dinner. So, you know, you think it's rough being up there with these, you know, like Aaron and Jeremy and Katie and stuff. That's nothing. I was a guest speaker at a VIP dinner. People paid to have dinner with us. And they put me up there with, Brian Cano and Dave Schrader and Patty Negri and... I can't even think of who else was there. Jeremy Leonard. That's where I met Jeremy. And Jeremy came over to me. We got let off the panel first. And he was the first one that comes over. So you hunt cryptids? I saw a Rougarou. I'm like, okay, I don't know who you are. Why are you talking to me? But yeah, so that was pretty intense. Like, I did not belong up there. And it was really cool because they all treated you like you do. You know,
exactly.
There's a reason that you're here speaking. There's a reason that somebody wants to hear you. And, you know. So there you go.
Yeah, it's like I got to meet the Booth brothers, Christopher and his brother.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Christopher and I became really, really good friends, and we still are to this day, you know, and another surreal thing, you know, all the stuff that he's done on Sci-Fi Network and the movies. I've actually got some of the props from some of the movies that he's done. He's actually got my artwork hanging in his home, which is even cool. I did a few paracons with him, and I always find out if he's going to be at the same paracon, I ask to be next to him. And it was funny. I did one here 2 or 3 years ago, and it had been a really long day. It had been like a 16-hour day, and I hadn't eaten all day. You know, and of course, everybody gets together after it shuts down for the day, and I'm not a drinker.
Mm-hmm.
And I go so far until I see, okay, you guys are having way too much fun that you shouldn't be. So I left. And the only place that was open at the time was Walmart. So I went across the street, you know, so I got a sub sandwich and some food. I went through the self-checkout. Well, I set my phone and my wallet up on the self-checkout, and I left it there and forgot. So I get back to my room. And I'm like, where's my son at? So I'm looking for my phone to call him. And I'm like, what in God's name? You know, where's my phone? And then I'm going, where in the heck's my wallet? So I'm going, oh, my gosh, you know, did I drop it? So I run back out my vehicle, and I'm like walking across this 6-lane trying to see if I dropped my phone or, you know, something. So I finally went back to Walmart, and I went in, and I found security. Well, I went in and I found who was in charge, and I said, I need to talk to security, and who are you? Well, I got my badge and stuff out. And I said, well, I'm pretty sure I left my wallet and my phone on this checkout station right here. You know, and of course, there's cameras over every single one of the checkouts. And I said, I need to see them now, and I need to see this. This is how long ago I was in here. So They take me back there. I met with security, and sure enough, there was a couple behind me, and they seen me leave it, and they left their stuff in their cart, and they went over and they took my wallet and phone, followed me out of Walmart. It looked like they were going to give it back to me. No, as soon as we got outside, they peeled off and went down the complete opposite end and went and got in their car. Well, of course, it was all on camera as well. So that's when I called the police department, and I canceled all my cards and everything to make sure that nothing was going to be used. They couldn't get in my phone if they wanted to. So I had like four officers end up showing up. And so me and the sergeant decided to go in the parking lot down where they had gotten in the car. Got down there, and sure enough, I ended up stepping on something, and it was my wallet. And they took my driver's license. Why? I mean, it's not going to do them any good whatsoever, but they took my driver's license, which I really thought was kind of a strange thing. You know, and I had quite a bit of cash in there, and they took all my cash that was out of there. They took the one credit card I used when I travel, and of course my debit card. And then the other officer that was out driving around found my phone. They had tried to get into it so many times, it locked itself, and they chucked it. Well, it landed in the medium in the grass. Because when he went by, he could see that it was lit up. There was something lit up there, and he stopped, and there was my phone. So it wasn't 30 minutes later, I get back to my hotel room, and the officers show up. The people that had stolen my credit cards and stuff were trying to use them at Walmart, where they just took the stuff from. Did I get my money back? No, I didn't. But it was funny. They were trying to use my stuff at the same place. Not even 2 hours after this had all transpired, they were trying to use it, and it was so funny. But the story with that, everybody knew that what had happened to me the night before, that because I had no cash, I had nothing, and I had another 3 days. And I was just sweating bullets. I didn't know what to do. So, because my bank account got frozen, everything. So, I'm standing there, and I'm actually selling stuff. So, I'm making a little money. Well, Christopher St. Booth comes over, and he goes, in his British accent, "Watch out, I need to give him." He comes over, and he goes, "I need to give the big man a hug." So, he's giving me a hug, and he goes, "I got your wallet." And he goes, "Is that too soon?" I was just laughing. I just thought it was funnier than I'll get out. And he ended up helping me out, and it was cool. There was Keith Ainge. He helped me out, and there was a couple other people there. Mike Rethsecker, good friend of mine as well. He helped out too. So it was cool because I was really sweating, going, "How am I going to make three more days?" Luckily, the room and everything was paid for, but you know, I had no money for food, no money for gas to get anywhere. But it worked out. It was a good deal. But that's what the story was with Christopher St. Booth. It was so funny. I took your wallet.
Wow, yeah, it's like you know, they always say like you shouldn't meet your heroes and stuff like that, but you know, this is one of the fields where a lot of the people that you know you look up to and stuff, like as far as like cryptids and stuff goes, like almost everybody in the cryptid field that I've met and you know like looked up to or whatever is all like friends on my Facebook now.
Exactly.
You know, I've had them all on my show, you know, and you know everybody's been super cool. I've only had like two people turn me down. One of them said they don't do any podcasts because they're like afraid of them. They just don't like the anxiety of doing it.
Right.
And the other one just never got back to me or forgot, you know, and that's it. But everybody else, so awesome people out there.
Yeah, exactly. And every time I go, you know, I know the people that are going to be there, and then it just branches off from there. You know, I meet people that they know, and then I meet the people that they know, and it branches off more. And so, you know, my list just keeps getting bigger of people that, you know, and I've had nobody turn me down so far, which is so cool. I mean, send it out, and absolutely, when do you want me to be on the show, you know? Because, you know, Daniel Klaus, who owns the Hinsdale House in New York, one of my best friends, amazing man, he was one of the first people I'd ever met. I haven't been out to Hinsdale yet. I will get there. And he could just tell me, you better. And I sent him the article. Oh, by the way, I'm in a magazine. If anybody would like to see my story and how I started with my two boys and some of the stuff that we accomplished over the years that we were together, American Paranormal Magazine, you can go to the website. We are on the cover, All Out Paranormal, and there's a 3-page write-up. And if you read it, leave a comment. I want to know how well I wrote it. I didn't think I did a bad job on it, but I would like to hear other people, you know, say, hey, you know, it was good, or wow, man, you got a little wordy or something like that. But I hope you enjoy it. If you do, read it. And if you want the magazine, they're a nonprofit organization, just like my Skydoor Entertainment. It's $13 for the magazine. And if you want, I send it to me and I'll sign it and I'll send it right back to you if you want it. And I mean, if you want that done. Where'd we go from this? I kind of walked away from what we were talking about.
Oh man, that's no problem, man. Tell everybody, you know, like, where can they find you? Where, you know, you talked about the magazine, where can we get your art online?
Okay.
And, tell me about your network and stuff and how people can get a hold of that and listen to that.
Absolutely. My art, I call it unexplainable art. I should promote it more than I do.
We all should do that.
Yeah. I just have a Facebook page and you'll see a picture of me. I'm a bald guy, tattoos on his arms. I think I'm leaning on a chair and I'm wearing a black shirt and I got tattoos all over my arms. It's unexplainable art for a reason. I don't have a big epiphany when I do a drawing. It just happens. I can see something that'll trigger going, wow, you know, a pattern or something, and go, wow, I can make a really cool picture out of that. And that's why I carry my little notebook around and write things down. And another thing I do, which people kind of get upset with it, I'll see a picture going, wow, that could be so much better if this, or this is done to it. And I've done that. I've seen a picture and I've changed it completely and made it my own. And or my original stuff. Or if somebody wants something, just, you know, go to my unexplainable art page. Say, hey, because the phone number that's on there is my personal cell phone. You want something, just call me. If I don't answer, please leave a message because I will call you right back. I'm like most people. If I don't know the number, I don't answer it. But if you guys don't leave a message, you know, I can't get back to you. The email address is my personal email address. And tell me what you want. You know, look at my stuff. It's different. I think I do something that appeals to everybody at some point. There's a lot of people that don't care for it, which is fine. You know, I can take constructive criticism. But that's where you can find it. And if you find something on there, I quit putting on there sold. Because, you know, having 3 Facebook pages and running the network now, I just don't have time to be running in there going, oh, this one sold, and then scrolling through everything, finding that and putting sold on it. If there's something anybody finds on my page, and I will be putting new stuff up. I haven't put new stuff up in a while. Been doing artwork. I just haven't had time to be uploading and putting it on there. I'll let you know whether I still have it or not. Now, the unfortunate thing is I'm not an artist that does a picture over and over and over again. I don't want to be that person. But under extreme circumstances, like there was a young lady that really fell in love. I did my rendition of the Sistine Chapel where they're getting ready to touch fingers. Really very modern and way out there. But you know what it is when you see it. She absolutely fell in love with it, and I kept saying, well, I'm sorry, hon, I sold that years ago. And I could see that she really wanted it. So they walked away, and I went and found the mom and dad, and I said, I'll do it for her. I will redo the picture for her. And I could not believe the phone call I got after she ended up getting it. But I have done it. I mean, if there's something that you absolutely go, man, I've looked for something like this for so long, would you do it for me? I will. It won't look exactly the same. there'll be some a little bit different in it, not to where it changes the whole aspect or the meaning of the picture, but it won't be identical, put it that way. Mm-hmm. It's not like me doing a print,
right?
You know. So that's where you can find that. And by all means, a lot of stuff, I draw tattoos for people. Hmm. I just did one for my doctor before I came here, as a matter of fact. And it was so funny. I did it, and it was, I can't remember what flower it was, but he wanted it to wrap, finish up the upper part of his arm. And it was a flower that he must be a pet name or nickname for his daughter. And he goes, but make the flower look manly. You know, and if anybody's listening, it's you make a flower manly, you got to put some thought behind it. What I did is I made the outline of it thicker and heavier, mm-hmm. and more distinct, not flowing like a regular flower would look. And then I had to put a purple apple in it somewhere and the number 20. And let me tell you, I mean, the purple apple, you really have to look for it, because he didn't want to be where you could see it. You know, when you looked at the tattoo, there it was. There was the purple apple or the 20. And it was funny, because when I got it done, I sent him the picture of it done. And he goes, well, where's the apple and the 20? And I said, well, you told me to put it in there where you really had to look. And so I ended up drawing a circle around it and sent the picture back to him saying, there's the apple and there's the 20. And it was awesome. He came to my house to get it, and I don't like when I make stuff for friends and family and stuff. It's, you know, how much do you want? And unfortunately, I had to raise prices, because the price of paper and art supplies now is just through the roof. You know, I used to walk into Hobby Lobby and, you know, go down the, because I do it on paper, it's 180 pound or higher hot press or cold press watercolor paper. It's sturdier. I can get more out of it, more blending, or if I'm doing the pointillism, works a lot better. Or I do it on a canvas panel. But I go to Hobby Lobby now, and I'm lucky if there's 20 drawing pads on there, and they've almost doubled and tripled. And I, you know, go in there and pay $18 for, you know, 12 sheets of watercolor paper when I used to get 25, you know, for less than that. Mm-hmm. I did had to raise prices. I will frame them if they want framed. I don't charge anything when I send them to them. I don't charge postage. But it was funny. I said, well, man, Dr. House, and that's really his name, Dr. House. He's an awesome guy. I said, man, I don't know what to do. You know, I hate doing this. And he goes, put it this way. You tell me what you would ask for it, and I'll tell you whether it's enough or not. And I'm going, okay. So I just went, okay, it's $100. He goes, no, it's not. It's $200. And he hands me $200 for the artwork. And I'm going, are you serious? He goes, you got to realize, he goes, everybody has something that everybody needs. He goes, I can't draw. Mm-hmm. But luckily I know you, and you did exactly what I wanted that's going to be permanently on my body. And I never really thought of that before. I'm like, well, you're a doctor. I'm not, you know. And it was really cool to have your doctor, you know, come to your house and to get his artwork to begin with, and then hand me twice as much as I was asking for. So, again, I'm not outrageous on prices, but I think, you know, I'd like to tell everybody, I'm not famous by any means. I mean, after I'm dead, then they'll be worth money, like most of them.
Yep.
But I really put my heart and soul into what people want, mm-hmm. and even the stuff that I draw for whatever reason, I think I do a darn good job at it, and I do make money at it. I'm never going to be able to live off of what I do. But in the last year, it's really picked up, and people are really appreciating it, and which means more to me than anything, especially when I get a picture saying, look, we just hung this in our living room, you know, and I'm like, that is so cool. You know, I don't know. I don't know, 75, maybe 100 people who've sent me saying, hey, like the one guy had his bat cave, and I'd done some Batman stuff, and he had to show me where he'd put it up in his bat cave, and that just means the world to me when and people are proud enough that they actually hang it up and go, hey, you know, I know this guy, and this is his artwork, and it comes around, you know, hey, my friend said, you did this for him, can you do this? So I could go on about that forever and a day, too. But that's it. It's just as simple as that. Even you can go to my public page, just Rex Nielsen, and say, hey, you know, I heard you on here, or I seen you somewhere, or a friend has art. I didn't know what to look up for your art page. Hey, can you do this for me? Which is great. Absolutely. Or go out to All Out Paranormal, which is another page of mine. And you can do the same thing there, too. But, you know, like my page and follow, too, please.
Awesome.
And that's where you can find me. And as far as my network, everything that's on it is paranormal, cryptic, cryptid, you know what I mean, Bigfoot, all that stuff. Which, you know, I'm telling you like you don't know what I'm talking about when I'm the one that I don't know what I'm talking about. Metaphysical. And it's fun because it's a network where that's the stuff that if you're into, that's where you're going to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I got some amazing people on there. I've got amazing people coming up that are going to have shows on there and it's a lot of fun and it is audio and video.
Okay.
So you'll get to see us as we're interacting and having fun and we do have fun. A lot of times we get off subject completely, especially if I have
can't imagine.
If I have Brandon on or Nick, Aaron G's sidekick. Aaron and I are just Nick and I are really close too. We have a lot of fun, and I just had him on the show here. I don't know, about a month ago. We didn't talk about anything paranormal. Hardly. Just about
come listen to this paranormal show about nothing about paranormal.
And it was just some of the stuff that we did when we were doing the on investigation or something. But yeah, that's what my show's about. A lot of it is very informative, very to the point, and a lot of different subjects. Max Hawthorne is on our show. He's an award-winning author. He's awesome. He's on there on Tuesday nights. I'm trying to think. We have an amazing medium that's on Wednesday nights. And don't everybody flood me with nasty emails or anything. There are very few that you can really put any, I don't want to say faith, or what they're doing, and she's the real deal. I gave her the most cryptic thing in the world. There was no way she could have gotten this unless she has a gift. I never used a name, never said who it was, never said that this person was famous, nothing. And I cried. It was one of my first shows on the new network, and I cried because she knew exactly. I mean, before I even finished, she told me who it was. And it was Freddie Mercury, everybody. I'm the hugest Queen fan on the face of the earth. Yes, I do have tattoos of Freddie Mercury and Queen. And she knew exactly what I was talking about. And from there on, I was like, she did a reading, long-distance readings for people, and everybody, we had people from Australia and stuff asking questions, and she was getting everything. An amazing lady.
And who is she?
Melissa. Oh, now her last name.
Her you last can talk name about her all day, me. But nobody cares if you don't tell her name.
Her name is Melissa, and they've got some of the coolest names. Bear with me, everybody. I'll look it up here. Yeah, I'm owner, producer, and host of my own network, and I've got so many shows I can't remember everybody's names.
Don't feel bad. I mean, I have guests on live every Monday on my show, and I'm talking to the guests, you know, like you, and I'm like, yeah, last week I was talking to, oh, crap.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me a minute. No, no, it's not coming. Go back and listen to last week's episode. It was on there.
Oh, let's see here. Yeah, exactly. Soul Connection.
Soul Connection.
Yeah, Soul Connection on Wednesday nights from, I believe, 7 to 8.
Okay.
I believe her show is just an hour. Give it a watch. I mean, you can watch mine too.
Where can we watch it?
You can watch it on Skydoor Network.
Okay.
Sorry, I changed it from network to entertainment because I liked it better. we have a Facebook page. We are on everything: Twitch, Twitter, Instagram. I mean, YouTube, Facebook. It goes out to everything. Every single show that we have goes to those platforms. And since we started it, and I'm not bragging or anything, my show has reached 32,000 people a week.
Wow.
You know, and like we talked earlier, I'm nobody, you know, but I've met some amazing people, and everybody loves the program. And Brandon, the people that, you know, watch his show, Max Hawthorne, he's got the biggest following on YouTube. And Melissa's gotten quite a following. She's the real deal, people, and it's an amazing lady. And her husband sits in with her, and he's a card, man. That man's funny. And I'm glad he does a part of the show, because I do jump in. I produce the shows, and so I'm behind the scenes to help with the comments that come in. And I am trying to change it up so people can actually call in during the shows, which would be really cool to hear from the people themselves, because we get so many stuff typing in. You know, you're trying to starve the ones that you haven't, you know, because we don't, if we miss people, it's not intentional. It really isn't. And there's times you want to, you know, people say, hey, Rex, hey, guys. Don't take it personal if we don't say hey back or hello, because I don't want to interrupt the guest that's going on. But when I do get a chance, I'll say, hey, I want to catch up and say hi to such and such, so-and-so, and so-and-so, and these two questions. But, yeah, we're trying to get it so actually people can call in. And
cool.
I think that'll be a really cool thing to do. But that's where you can find us. Any one of the shows that are on, you can find them, go to their Facebook page too, which you can go to just Skydoor Entertainment, and it gives you the list when the shows are. You can even put on there to get notifications. When one of the shows is coming up that you want to follow and watch, it'll give you a notification. Hey, you have an event that's going to be happening tonight. And I guarantee that you're going to...
Yeah, take care, man.
You bet. That there's something for everybody. Mm-hmm. There really is something for everybody on it. And I'm blessed. And the two guys that I bought it with, it's fun. And I think it's cool that it's everything that everybody's here right now that does. It's all in one spot. And we'll be getting more. We have people contacting us all the time. And we've had some amazing guests on there. And Brandon, he has some really special people on there too. So that's where you can find us.
Awesome.
And I guarantee everybody, it's a lot of fun. And give us a thumbs up, give us a thumbs down, give us a star rating, because when we do that, we're trying to get sponsorship to help us keep going, because we're a nonprofit. We don't make any money at doing this. We just want to bring this to everybody and have a network, paranormal, cryptic.
Cryptid.
That's
cryptic. You put that in, you start looking for currencies.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Now I'll never screw it up again.
Yeah.
So, and the metaphysical, we've got healers.
Can you get a card for us real
quick? All that stuff on there. And if you go, I finally have a website up and running. So if you go to our website, skydoorentertainment.gov, you know, it's so new, I'm not sure. But if you
send me the links, I will put them in the show notes. Whatever you got.
I know it's on here somewhere. It was one of the, there. Skydoorentertainment.org.
.org.
Yes. Right. We just got that up and running, and I've actually made an author page on there, so everybody that's on our shows, mm-hmm. you can click on that author, and it'll show you exactly where to get their books.
Very cool.
And please do, because I've got some really cool people coming up, and their books are absolutely phenomenal. And because I'm going to be, Lena?
Lynn,
that's it. I'm sorry. Faces, yes. Names, no.
By the third day, we're all a little tired here.
I can't wait to have her on my show. The Horns are going to be on there. Actually, I already have them booked. April 20th, they'll be on Discover the Paranormal with All Out Paranormal. KD and KT are both, they'll be on my show here pretty soon. Chris Lewis. If you don't know who this guy is, he's written some of the coolest books on myths and legends, but he's written stuff, you know, like the Swamp Ape and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Just a ton of books and an awesome guy. Really awesome guy. Finally, you know, we're really good friends, and I finally tied him down. He'll be on my show in May, and he's got a couple new books out. And when I get him on our page, I mean, he's got a whole library. He's got a lot of books, and he does a lot of forwards for a lot of other people and their books. My son wrote a book, Chris Nielsen. He'll be on there as well. I'm in the first five chapters. he did it. Not just because he's my son, it's written very, very well. He's extremely articulate and an amazing young man. And so is my youngest one. He just doesn't do what older brother and dad do. Marches to a different drummer.
That's okay.
And he's taller than his dad.
Well, yeah. Yeah. You're not a small man either. So
I walk around at 6'7", and then I've got my son who, you know, I outweigh by 130-140 pounds, and he's, you know, big around as my thumb and can out-eat this entire everybody in here at one sitting. Yeah, he's 6'8", but we do a lot of things. Our RC cars is one big thing that we love to do together, and that's the network. And, you know, check it out, please.
Awesome.
Tell us what you think.
Awesome. Well, I tell you what, after we get done here, I'm going to have you send a friend request, or we'll friend request each other, and send me links for all that, and we'll get in the show notes, because that's a lot for me to remember, too.
For me, too. You know, like I said, this is the first podcast I've done in so long, and good thing you're asking this stuff, because, you know, as soon as I sat down, my brain went, you know, 100 different directions at once. You know, I had many bald moments during this interview, so.
It's all good. It's all good, man. Well, I appreciate your time. I appreciate meeting you. I mean, you're absolutely an amazing guy, and thank you for your service as well.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Yeah. I can count on one hand how many times I heard that in my career, but thank you very much. Yeah. And thank you for having me on. I'm honored.
Yeah, no problem.
It was an absolute blast meeting you. You're a great guy.
Thank you.
This was a lot of fun. You want me back again?
Absolutely.
All you do is just let me know, and I'll be right there.
Awesome. I will let you know, man.
All righty.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. To find out more about cryptids, anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, visit us at our website at wisconsincaps.com. That's wisconsincaps.com. There you can find links to all of our social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and our Patreon. You will see links to our online store as well, where you can get t-shirts, DVDs, and more. If you click on the public events page, you can find out where you can meet us in person and all the public events we have coming up. If you enjoy our podcast or our YouTube shows, please consider becoming a Patreon at patreon.com/WisconsinCaps. There you can find behind-the-scenes pictures and videos from all of our media, as well as bonus footage and evidence that we have collected. If you have encountered something you can't explain, we want to hear from you. Visit our website and click on Submit a Report on our main screen. You can choose to leave your contact information or simply remain anonymous. You can also reach us via email at wisconsincaps@gmail.com. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please contact us on our Whispers from the Dark podcast page on Facebook or send us an email at wisconsincaps.com. Remember to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen or watch or find us.